This podcast is supported by Mercy Corps. From war in Ukraine to flooding in Pakistan to earthquakes in Afghanistan, Mercy Corps is delivering urgent humanitarian assistance and long-term solutions to families in crisis around the globe. Visit mercycorps.org/donate to learn more and support lasting solutions in over 40 countries. That's mercy, corps.org/donate to help build a future where everyone can flourish.
Listen, America, I get it. You hate me. You hate my voice and you hate my face.
In the past, I have been big and loud, but tonight I am a sweet little baby Trump.
Senator Sanders, how are you?
I'm good. I'm hungry, but I'm good. And now, if you don't mind, I'm gonna dial it right up to a 10.
Wait a minute, do you all like this? I'm not losing, am I? I mean, in 2008, of course I lost. I was running against a cool black guy. But this year I thought I got to be the cool black guy.
I, the best ever Donald Trump, promise to accept the results of this election if I win. Got you, loser, trademark.
Oh, Donald, no!
Get real, I'm made of steel, this is nothing.
From the New York Times, this is The Run-Up. I'm Michael Barbaro. Okay, so before we even begin, I guess I have to make a little bit of a confession that this episode completely terrifies me because
why?
Even when you interview Newt Gingrich and you host a podcast, there's like enough of a power dynamic. Like I know that stuff. I know how to interview Newt Gingrich. I'm not funny. And when I try too hard to be funny, I think people are only laughing because I've tried so hard. And so humor scares the hell out of me. So that's my confession.
Don't
you know
try and be
key
funny.
Is you don't have to be funny. Yeah.
No, I'm
exactly.
not. I'm not. That's going to be the goal.
That's going to be great.
But
the less funny you are, the better the episode will be.
I don't know that I agree. Like, it's aggressively non-funny.
I think you need to step up. It's time to step up and deliver. Effortless. Effortless humor. Effortless laughs.
On today's show, our effort at effortless humor. Because believe it or not, this is the last episode before Election Day. And every election is exhausting, but this one has taken everything. And so today, rather than dissect the numbers or do last-minute analysis, we're just going to hit pause. We asked three of our favorite comedians to come on the show. And these are comedians, so there's some cursing. Phoebe Robinson co-hosts the Two Dope Queens podcast. Chris Gethard is one of our favorite stand-up comedians. And Cameron Esposito created and stars in the new TV show, Take My Wife. So, Chris, Phoebe, and Cameron, all the way from Los Angeles, thank you for being here.
Hey, Boo, how's it going? Is it okay that I called you Boo?
I'm the Boo.
Yeah, you're Boo. Yeah.
I've never been Boo on the show. How would I know how to respond to that?
That's why me, Phoebe Robinson, does podcasts to call people Boo and just get real intimate real quick.
I don't know. I feel surprised that you've never been called Boo on your political podcast on the New York Times. I feel like that's kind of weird and I don't get it.
I want to start very, very simply. Is Donald Trump a funny man?
Okay. So I used to watch The Celebrity Apprentice like years ago, and he actually is, like, I hate to say he actually is kind of funny, but like what he's doing now is not funny. It's kind of like, yo, dude, like, let's just stop. This was had a great run. You got some Instagram followers, but it's over.
Phoebe, I think you've hit on a great point, which is that it's as if he's taken the rhythms and skills that a stand-up would need, like charisma and an ability to say things that people cheer along with, and he has used them only for darkness. Like, have you ever seen one of your favorite comics tell a really blue joke, and you're like, oh man, you didn't need to talk about that.
Like when Michael Richards said the N-word and everyone was like, yo.
So disappointing. You can just shake your head around, dude. That's all you need to do. You don't need to bring that here.
Yeah.
I would go so far as to say I think he's legit funny. Like, I think he's got chops, if I'm being honest. I actually think that's like kind of how he survives. Like, even at a couple of the debates, he made me laugh.
I mean, I don't
want
to point this out, but you are the only straight white man on this podcast that is a comedian. So
45 seconds in, I'm on the defensive.
It's just like, I could maybe think that he's funny if I wasn't like where am I going to live? You know, am I going to be forcibly divorced? Like, no.
The thing
gonna
is, he's not
going to
win, Cam. He's not.
No, I know
here,
he's not going
to
win.
Here first. But... Like, he literally thinks every black person lives in the inner city. Like, literally every single one. I'm like, Oprah does not, but that's okay.
I just wanted to say, if it's okay, the conversation's moving pretty fast, and I'm not the most fast-paced guy, but... I spoke once saying I thought it was funny and then got told I was a straight white male and then the conversation moved on.
Right past.
I
want to just
are,
go.
Though.
I am, but I just also want to go on record and say the other thing I was going to say is that while I think Donald Trump is funny, I know a lot of comedians who are really funny and they're terrible people who shouldn't be the president of the United States. Like, terrible people. Horrible. Just because you're funny doesn't mean you're qualified to do anything. So I just,
of the three of us, who do you think is the most qualified to be president?
Oh, great question.
Okay. Gosh, we
it
each...
should not really take this long.
No,
because we're each
represent...
right now analyzing all of our own flaws, I'm sure. I couldn't do it just because the amount of pressure and anxiety. I'd definitely be crippled with anxiety and depression right out of the gate. 100%. I don't know.
I think you should be president. I don't think I could because I'm too flighty. Like, I didn't know Brexit was happening until it was, like, happening. And I was like, oh, that's not good, guys. Everyone's like, yeah, we talked about this 2 months ago. I was like, okay, I'm going to go back and watch, you know, Empire.
I'm not sure if I could be president because I have a tendency to go on podcasts and call people straight white men. And that doesn't get you elected.
Or maybe name calling does get you.
Yeah,
it's hard to tell.
I want to turn to Hillary Clinton, and she's not funny. That's the right diagnosis, correct?
You know what killed me when she was on Between Two Ferns with Galifianakis? I liked it a lot, but I was like, go make a joke. Like, she's just being. It's like she's not in the comedic sense. She is being the straight man here. And it was killing me because I was like, no, throw a couple punches, like get the laugh lines. Like, I couldn't help but compare it to when Obama did it. And he got a couple, like he tossed a couple haymakers. And I was like, I want to see her just like let her guard down and just be funny.
Yeah.
I felt like she wasn't willing.
As secretary, how many words per minute could you type? And how does President Obama like his coffee? Like himself? Weak?
You know, Zach, those are really out of date questions. I you need to get out more.
What happens if you become pregnant? Are we going to be stuck with Tim Kaine for 9 months? How does this work?
I could send you some pamphlets that might help you understand.
First, you supported Obama's Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, and then you were against it. I think that people deserve to know. Are you down with TPP?
I'm not down with TPP.
No, you're supposed to say, yeah, you know me.
I feel like I think because she is a woman in the public eye and literally is dissected nonstop. Like her, the way that she dresses, like her getting sick from like touching people, which is what happens when you shake tons of hands, you get sick. It's not a weird thing that happened. And just she's always, people are saying she's not cool, she's not this, she's not that. It's really hard to let your sense of humor shine when everyone is nitpicking and saying that you're kind of a failure in some way. And so
the other thing about Hillary's like lack of humor, perceived lack of humor, is she's not allowed to let her guard down. And to make a joke, you inherently have to take a risk and let your guard down. Like anytime you go to make a joke, like it could bomb. And that's a risk she can't take, just in the same way that when you watch the debates and he's saying all this crazy stuff and aggressive stuff that she just sits there. I think on my end, I would watch those debates and be like, why isn't she just lashing out and being like, that's not true? But then you realize, oh, if she lets her guard down, people are ready to pounce. And I think to make jokes, you have to, if she made a joke and it bombed, it would be a meme 30 seconds later and no one would ever, ever drop it. And that is a thing that other politicians don't have to deal with that she does.
Can we talk about the last
debate? That's a really good point, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you so much,
great.
Phoebe.
Yeah, no,
thank
I just
you so
was
much.
Like, oh, I didn't think about that, but you're totally right.
If she made a joke that fell flat,
yeah,
the internet would explode.
Yeah.
Right. She was pretty funny at that dinner.
She was.
The Catholic dinner.
The Al
great.
Smith thing.
Yeah.
The Al Smith dinner. She was pretty funny. Like, I actually thought her, I mean, I know neither of these candidates are writing their jokes, but I thought she could laugh at herself. Mm-hmm. That was what was cool about it, because half of her jokes were about her opponent. The other half were like, these are the things that you think about me. I was taking performance enhancers. I was prepared. Like, she had some funny jokes about herself.
This is such a special event that
I took a break from my rigorous nap schedule to be here. And as you've already heard, it's a treat for all of you too, because usually I charge a lot for speeches like this. Now, I'm gonna try my best tonight, but I understand I am not known for my sense of humor. That's why it did take a village to write these jokes. There is nothing like sharing a stage with Donald Trump. Donald wanted me drug tested before last night's debate. And look, I gotta tell you, I am so flattered that Donald thought I used some sort of performance enhancer. Now, actually, I did. It's called preparation.
That dinner was really fascinating because through comedy, I think what they really underline, I think she has a very true, you know, despite the fact that she is often slammed for being like a nerd or a policy wonk, like she also has a very, very clear sense of self-awareness, and that was underlined, whereas Trump's complete and total lack of self-awareness was also totally highlighted at that event.
And
which
lack
was
of awareness
amazing.
For his surrounding, which was the Catholic Church.
The fact that he made a joke, a quote-unquote joke, that was like, Hillary hates Catholics, she's pretending not to. That is the most bizarre choice, comedically, just speaking as a comedian. It's one of the most bizarre, it was a poorly structured joke that I couldn't quite figure out what the angle was. And to deliver that in a room full of Catholics at a charity event, it was like, wow, know your audience, know yourself. What are you going for?
Hillary believes that it's vital to deceive the people by having one public policy and a totally different policy in private. That's okay. I don't know who they're angry at, Hillary, you're right. For example, here she is tonight in public pretending not to hate Catholics. Now, if some of you haven't noticed, Hillary isn't laughing as much as the rest of us. That's because she knows the jokes. And all of the jokes were given to her in advance of the dinner by Donna Brazile.
You know there's like joke writers being paid because he had enough good ones. And you know for a fact he was like, and here's one of mine. And they were like, you're not going to want to... You're not, and he's like, no, I got this. You know, I promise you, it will come out someday that whoever wrote his jokes is like, yeah, he just flew solo on that one. I promise.
No, I fully agree with you. You could see it in his eyes, 100%, Chris. That was definitely him, like, I'm going to add my signature Donald touch. Everyone's going to love it.
I want to talk about Trump and Twitter and humor for just a minute, because there is a lot of humor when it comes to Donald Trump on Twitter, but it's exceptionally cutting. And Chris, I want to ask you to start by reading this first tweet on that document.
Obama is without question the worst ever president. I predict he will now do something really bad and totally stupid to show manhood. Is that his? He tweeted that?
Also, how do you show your manhood as president?
Well, I know how Donald would do it.
Yeah, he would just whip it out. He'd be like, no thanks.
He would
thanks.
Just show his manhood.
No
I
loved, thanks.
I just saw a quote last night at one of his rallies when Biden, which I also, I did, it was weird. Like when Biden threatened to, said how much he'd love to fight Trump and everybody was so charmed by it. I saw footage of Trump at a rally and I thought he had a point where he's like, if I said I wanted to fight somebody, the world would go nuts. He's like, why is it okay for Biden? And I do think there's something valid there. But then to watch him, it was like he could not say it. He's like, I'd love to, me and Biden, we go out back. Oh, sure, Biden, you tough guy. We'll see how that fight goes. That would be easy. And it's like he can't, like he gets challenged on anything and he needs to be like, he's basically like, I could beat the shit out of Joe Biden. And like, that's how
no
easy
way.
It is to get him worked up. Because Joe Biden can say, I'd love to fight him. And Trump spends 10 minutes going, I'll take him out back. I'll tear his head off his body. Biden.
And Joe Biden would easily win.
You think
easily.
So?
Easily, yes.
Wow.
Joe,
I think it'd be a good fight.
I do not think so. I think Donald Trump's health is atrocious. Lies.
Biden's much older though, right?
Wait, lies about what? His?
He said his health was like amazing. He has a perfect physique.
Trump would cheat. That is true.
He would cheat.
Trump
but
would
I feel
cheap
like,
shot.
I feel like Joe has just probably like boxed a little bit back in his day. I don't know. I think he got it. I think he's got it.
He's a working class dude. He takes Amtrak's.
Exactly.
Yes, Cameron, please.
He does take Amtrak.
For me, when Joe Biden says he wants to fight Trump, to me that feels like he's fighting a bully for all of us.
I want to say that I want to call you out on something, because a couple minutes back, you were talking about the double standard of asking about a woman's laugh and the challenges of being a public woman. Biden and Trump here, these are kind of reckless expressions of hypermasculinity, and I'm surprised to not hear a little more alarm at that. But both of them are talking in terms of combat and confrontation. And like, is that what we want in our politics?
Well, I had the same thing where it's like, as a comedian and as a regular dude and as a Democrat and a progressive guy, it makes me laugh really hard to hear Joe Biden go, I would fight Trump. I'd love that. But then there's also a part of me that I think is a rational human being that is willing to say, I don't care how we justify it, it is a little weird to have a sitting vice president talk about how he'd like to physically fight a presidential candidate.
Number
and that
one,
doesn't get called
totally
out because it's like our crazy Uncle Joe Biden. Like, it's like the Uncle Joe who visits from Delaware once in a while. Like, we're not calling that out. Doesn't mean I don't like it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that I'm not like, fuck yeah, Joe. Sorry if the language, can we bleep that? Sorry.
Family newspaper,
Phoebe's been cursing the whole time.
Wait.
No,
right.
It's too late. It's too late.
Right. Sorry. This
you
is going to be bleeped.
Three comedians.
No, it won't. It'll be fine.
I mean, I don't.
You invited
I don't
three comedians.
With... No.
I take it back. I take
it's
it back.
New York Times, and I'm not going to be bleeped.
No, I take it back.
Oh,
we really
gosh.
Relish.
Okay, good.
Right,
oh,
Phil?
The
Phil
paper of record loves an F-bomb.
I want to tackle one more tweet. I'm going to read this one myself. I have never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke.
So why is that an opinion to have?
But is
can
it
I just
true?
Cop to something? Can I just cop to something here?
Did you just ask if it's true? Does well, the New York Times want to know?
Here's the thing. I will say this. I will get your back on this, boo. I will get your back on this, boo. If Donald Trump hadn't posted this, but certain comedian friends of mine had, I would laugh at
that
this tweet.
I would retweet it,
like,
for sure.
If someone, like, and I would not expect many, like, I wouldn't expect some alt comedian, but like Tim Dillon, my friend Tim, if Tim Dillon tweeted that, I would laugh at it and push like on Facebook.
Yeah.
I never seen a thin person drink a Diet Coke. There is something about Diet, that's a slam on Diet Coke.
That's true.
Pretty funny. If Donald Trump says it, it has all sort of implications about the ignorance of it and the fact that someone who's trying to be a president, a leader of the free world, shouldn't be saying that. But if a certain type of comedian posted that, I would giggle.
That's true.
Is this the right time to tell you that he drinks a lot of regular Coke? Because he does. When you go into his office, he's drinking Coke and he offers you Coke.
Wait, you've been in his office?
I've been in his office. Michael, would you like a Coke? And then he yells out to his assistant, Rona! And I said, no, I just want some water.
Is it like a can of Coke or is it like one of those glass bottles? It's not Mexican Coke, is it?
I
want to
recall it as a plastic cup of water.
I like it a lot, though. I bet he drinks the Mexican Coke.
because it tastes way better.
I like it. Just out of a glass bottle alone, let alone the lack of corn syrup.
Yeah. Oh,
I bet he's drinking Mexican Cokes.
He is.
I would not be shocked if 3 days after the election, he's like, I'm just going to come clean. I had no idea I was going to go that far.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah,
I had no
sure.
idea. I was as flummoxed as all of you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's like November 12th that he's like, hey, my bad on that because I got in over my head on that. Sorry.
Who do you think gets that interview? Who do you think gets that interview?
He's broadcasting that on Facebook
Lauer?
Live.
I think he's going to try and start his own TV network.
He's trying.
And I think he's going to try and get Oprah to interview him. She's going to be like, in your dreams. But maybe she might do it.
All right, you just brought up Trump TV, which is the theory out there that Donald Trump, post-election, especially post-defeat, if it happens as the polls suggest, starts a media empire, and that it would maybe even be called Trump TV because he likes to see his name in lights. So what is your favorite show on future Trump TV?
I look forward to a show that's hosted by Mike Pence that's really reasonable and definitely the lowest rated show on Trump TV. There's no one watching it.
All right, but Trump TV, 2 a.m., what are you watching?
Okay, I think it should be a show hosted by Ivanka. I think it should be called Guys, I Try to Tell Them. And it's a clip show in the style of America's Funniest Videos. And she just goes through and she just plays clips of when Donald says something insane. She pauses and she's like, guys, I try to tell him that was not going to be a good look. He didn't want to listen. Next clip. Guys, I tried to tell him
So she revives her reputation by systematically apologizing for everything he's done in the last 16 months.
Yes.
Phoebe, can I add a pitch to this? I'm just, you can reject it fully.
Okay.
But I think it's Tiffany Trump. The very the unrepresented Trump. Because Ivanka's been really towing the party line. Tiffany, whenever the camera cuts to her, she just looks like, guys, I just wandered in here. Like the family plane dropped me off and I didn't even mean to be here.
I don't think she would be allowed to get a show on Trump TV.
That's a really good point.
I don't think it would get greenlit.
That's a really good point.
I like.
Oh, she's so left behind.
I really like the idea of Trump TV because I think, I really want to see how it affects Fox News in a big way, because I think there's been a thing with the Republican Party for a longer time now, and it's, I think Trump has clearly brought it to a head of, it's this party that has always played upon emotion and about morality plays and like this effort to sort of like play into a nostalgia of a past of America, but that's clearly a past that's laced with old values that do not apply anymore. And I think Trump has really, all his supporters, I in my opinion, from what I can see from the outside, seem to be the people who are most hardcore about that. And I like the idea that he's going to start a network that takes them all to one place. Because we've got
so
all
Fox
these...
News becomes centrist?
By the standards of where the Republican Party is going, it really could. Yeah. It really could.
Wow.
Oh, you guys, last minute idea. Okay, it's a Property Brothers type show, but it's Eric and Donnie Jr., right? And what they do is they go and they rehab Trump employees' houses with gold fixtures that they cannot afford.
I would also like a scripted show. I would like a scripted show about a very large-handed masculine man taking on his enemy, who is a weak-willed backstabber with the very thinly veiled name of Ryan Paul. I would like that. Very thinly veiled.
I like that a lot.
That's so
okay,
good.
It's like a Queer Eye for the straight guy, you know, for the new era sort of a show, and it just teaches men in the Trump family that you can do something with your hair besides comb it straight back.
And then also RuPaul's Drag Race should be on, because let's be honest, everyone likes that show.
Yeah.
Everyone likes it. That's a great show.
Ron Paul's Drag Race.
Yeah, Rob.
We'll be right back.
Over the last 25 years, the world has witnessed incredible progress, from dial-up modems to 5G connectivity, from massive PC towers to AI-enabled microchips. Innovators are rethinking possibilities every day. Through it all, Invesco's QQQ ETF has provided investors access to the world of innovation. Be a part of the next 25 years of new ideas by supporting the fund that gives you access to innovative companies. Invesco QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. There are risks when investing in ETFs, including possible loss of money. ETFs' risks are similar to those of stocks. Investments in the tech sector are subject to greater risk and more volatility than more diversified investments. Before investing, carefully read and consider fund investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and more in prospectus at Invesco.com. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
My name is Thomas Gibbsneff. I'm a journalist at the New York Times. I served in the Marine Corps as an infantryman. When it comes to reporting on the front line, a lot of the same basics are at play. You're looking at the map of where you're going. If you're on a paved road, field roads, you know, is there a hospital nearby? Is your body armor affixed with the first aid kit? Does everyone know where that first aid kit is? We arrive into a military position. I get out of the car. I look at my watch. You know, I set a timer, no more than an hour. I'm listening for drones, jets, check in with the team. Is everyone comfortable? And if they are, then we proceed. Frontline reporting is dangerous, but I think nothing is more important than talking to the people involved, you know, hearing their stories and being able to connect that with people thousands of miles away. Anything that can make something like this more personal, I think, is well worth the risk. New York Times subscribers make it possible for us to keep doing this vital coverage. If you'd like to subscribe, you can do that at nytimes.com/subscribe.
I want to turn to conspiracy.
I love you, Michael. You're like, how can I get this train back on track?
Train totally on track. No puppet. I want to go back. I want to talk about conspiracy theories, because Trump has a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Like, he suggested that Hillary Clinton had used performance-enhancing drugs during the second debate to remain, you know, standing. And I just want to imagine for a minute what Hillary Clinton would be like on drugs.
Like if she, I think.
Really depends on what kind of drug.
Yeah, what
right?
drug? Because performance enhancing, like she's just really just going to be passing bills left and right. Like I don't think she's going to be doing anything fun. Like she's not going to go to the club. Like she's not going to go to a rave. She's just going to be like, let me get some spreadsheets, man.
I couldn't see her taking any fun drugs. I could see her messing with Adderall. I could see her going overboard with Adderall in an effort to just get more done in any given day.
She's staying up all night. Absolutely. Yeah. At the college library.
Yeah, right.
I don't see that.
I will sleep at some point. She's got sweats on. She's got college sweats on.
I can't see Hillary just like popping a bunch of Molly and talking about her internal truth.
I was going to ask you what she would be like on Molly. Just touching the faces of the other secretaries of state.
I would love if she took a bunch of Molly and that was the first time she ever talked to Bill about his cheating.
Yeah,
that was the first direct conversation they ever had.
Yeah.
She just gets real messed up on Molly and is like, I just need you to know how much that hurt me.
Yeah.
All right. Can we ask about a Donald Trump drug trip? Because this is a guy who's equated drinking and smoking.
Cocaine for sure.
Coke all night.
Just rails.
Plates of Coke. Golden plates of Coke.
But can
golden
I ask you guys?
Golden platters.
All right, so he's smoked
a crudité of different types of coke. Different.
Oh, for sure. I mean, for sure. But now let's imagine he's just had some edibles. He had a little too much of the brownie. It's really setting in. He needs to sit in a corner. I'm just imagining Tawny, a little too much pot. Sitting in the corner guy. You know, we've all seen that friend.
I feel like, I would do edibles
with him. I
seem
to sit here for 6 hours.
I would do edibles with him, and then I would watch Atlanta with him. And I think he would totally get it. He'd be like, yo, Donald Glover, I get this so hard right now. Just a thought.
Maybe
you
start with Black Jeopardy.
I think the guy never never drinks. He never does drugs. He has this incredible Nancy Reagan internal monologue about...
Straight edge. He's got that straight edge.
He does not... indulge.
But he's also 100% a sex addict, right? He doesn't indulge in drugs, but...
Wait, is that something that we know about him? Do we know that he never drinks?
Oh, yes, yeah. His older brother, Fred Jr., died of alcoholism, and he's adamant about it. He's incredibly stern, and has been with all his kids.
Wow.
But then there's all these stories... Then there's stories of all these parties that are full of cocaine that he's there for and enabling everybody. He likes being the life of the party.
Right.
He's just not snorting it himself.
Yeah.
It's a little Jay Gatsby, like never getting drunk at his own parties.
Yeah.
Aww.
Little Jay Gatsby there. Just staring at that light, staring at that light on the faraway shore. I hope it all comes out that he's just doing this because he's been in love the whole time.
Who's he in love with? It's not Melania. So who's the real...
The girl who got away.
Who's the girl
who got away? He's pining.
We got to find this woman.
All right. So...
I like how many of your questions start from a point of complete exasperation at where things have gone.
You're like...
So to complete the list of all of Donald Trump's conspiracies, there's the rigged election, there's the Hillary Clinton on drugs, there's a Mexican...
I mean, the election is rigged because it's like people will vote for the person they think is the best candidate. And that seems unfair.
He doesn't like that.
Yeah.
So my question was, what is going to be the next Donald Trump conspiracy?
Cameron? I think it's... Hillary Clinton is Putin.
Ooh. Hillary Clinton is Bill.
You know what
Bill
I mean? Because, like, I've never seen her with her shirt off on a horse, so I don't know what that looks like.
I could see him claiming we have never seen Hillary and Bill at the same time.
Yeah.
I could see him actually trying to claim that.
That's true.
And then people going, well, actually.
What about those?
What about all these wedding
we've
photos?
So, yeah. So much.
Those eight years in office.
Well, him just saying, no. They've never been in the same room. We've got a Clark Kent situation on our hands here. Yeah, I could see him trying to claim that. Hillary is just Bill had a sex change to become president again. I could see him trying to claim that.
Yeah.
That would
be out
there.
Completely insane like that.
So let's talk more about Bill Clinton. It's very possible at the beginning of next year, he's going to be our first gentleman.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody's going to call him that.
Yeah.
The first gentleman.
I heard he wanted to be called first volunteer. Did you guys see that?
Mm-mm. Really?
I hate that. You can't be the first volunteer. You got to be the first dude.
Well, so my question is, how does this guy who likes to stay up really late at night, shooting the breeze...
Oh, we almost got you to come down to our level.
Shooting the breeze. Loosening up.
It's the environment.
Oh,
it
boo.
Is the guests.
Boo, you're
My
so cute.
Guard
you guys
went
slip him
down.
A bunch of Molly. Yeah.
So Bill, bigger than life, what is that White House going to look like when Bill Clinton is first volunteer?
I think Hillary's going to run a tight ship. She's going to be like, do not ruin this for me. Like, she's going to have people on the inside spying on him. She's not messing around. She's wanted this her whole life. And during the campaign, he said some stuff where she's like, we talked about, no, we talked about this.
I would love if she wins in November and files for divorce in December.
I would love that. That would be so
if she was like, yo, you're out.
Yeah.
You're out.
Yes.
Wait, why do you like that?
Because I feel like, listen, I know forgiveness is a thing. I feel like their marriage was out of love and also political aspirations. Like, I think they both wanted to be president. I think they're both like, we got each other's backs. We're going to help each other out. And then he didn't hold up his end of the bargain. I want Hillary to just dump Bill, go on like a Oprah Gale vacay with like her best girlfriend to like Australia.
Anthony Weiner's ex.
Oh yeah, her and Huma should just chill out. Just have like a Diane Lane under the Tuscan sun, just vacay, drink some rosé, and then come back, start the presidency. Like, I'm ready to kill this. And then like maybe have like a slightly younger dude on the side.
I would love it, because I do think one of the things about Hillary that's so clear is she's always sitting on emotion, and like we talked about, not being able to make jokes, Trump saying all this stuff, and she has to keep a straight face, even keel. Even in the Sanders debates, he's constantly yelling, talking over. She can't fall into it. People are ready to jump on it. I really do enjoy the idea that she gets elected and she's like, yo, my guard's down now, and it's all coming out. And Bill's yes. in the crosshairs. You're the first one. I would love it if she had, like, you know how, like, Arya Stark has that list of people who wronged her, and now she's trying to go. I would love if Hillary has that list in her, in the breast pocket of her pantsuit at all times.
Rove.
I would love that.
I love that you're like, Joe Biden should not punch people. That being said, Hillary has, like, an assassin's list.
I'm also not the vice president of the United States, though. I'm the guy who lives in Queens, who grew up in New Jersey. And,
I mean, fair point. See, but I think she's a Khaleesi. That's who I see Hillary as. Like, for me, she's full on, like, dragons are hatching. They're on her shoulders. She's just walking through fire. Like, that's, I see her that way.
I would love if that was Trump's next conspiracy theory of, like, I am telling you, she has an army of horse riding warriors right across the sea. And if she can convince them to get on boats, they're going to overrun this country. She's going to bring the Drogos. She's going to bring the Khal Drogo. And all these guys are going to overrun the country. She's got them. She's got them waiting right over the sea.
But isn't the magic of Khaleesi that she always manipulates the men around her? In a very sophisticated
also,
way.
Also, she's impervious to fire.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah.
If you'll permit me for just a second, I want to get just a teeny bit serious. Because there's this really interesting debate going on in your world of comedy about how Donald Trump, in particular, is supposed to be treated. If basically he's allowed to be a source of humor and comedy, if he's allowed to be treated gently, or if that's not allowed, given the kind of campaign he's running, given the messages that he has been delivering in this campaign?
Because I do think that he is a dangerous person. And I do think that, yes, we can laugh at him and talk about how ridiculous he is. But I think he is a voice for a lot of people who do believe a lot of the ugly things that he says. And so when he was on Fallon and Fallon, like, was just rubbing his hair and being like, oh, like, chummy, like, this is, you know, Michael B. Jordan promoting a movie. I felt like that was inappropriate. Not that Jimmy Fallon had to, you know, turn on his, like, critical interviewer gaze, because that's not his style. But there is something to be said for, like, you don't have to indulge.
I've never missed David Letterman more than when I saw that.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was a little heartbroken. I wasn't mad at Fallon. It's not Fallon's thing, but it just also made me realize, like, I think late night TV used to be a little bit less about viral potential and a little bit more about, like, this is where, like, working class people fall asleep listening to someone poke holes at the people in power. And that was just so clearly gone in that moment. It was just so clearly not a priority anymore. Made me miss Letterman. I feel like if Trump was on Letterman, don't you feel like Letterman would have just looked at him and he would have ended his campaign?
Yeah, it would have been great.
He'd just been like, why, so why do you think
I feel the same way about Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
I mean, I am actually really grateful for Samantha Bee. I think she's done an amazing job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think she's awesome. I also made a decision. I don't know what you guys are doing about it, but I have been talking about this on stage for a pretty long time now. I was pro Clinton even when Sanders was running, and that used to be very scary to talk about on stage. People really did not like that. I made the decision to block him on Twitter because I just didn't want to.
Wait, block who?
Block Donald Trump. I'm sorry. I made the decision to block Donald Trump on Twitter because I just did not want to read the things that he was saying. And I also did not want them to be retweeted into my timeline. So, like, I will follow what's going on and I know what he has said, but it's like I have to go get it as opposed to it just pops into my timeline without my, like, permission, sort of a thing. And that has really helped me to stay less angry because I was very mad. I also would love to see, like, some more jokes about Hillary, because I feel like the focus has been so much on Trump that, like, she's not even really getting joked about. And that is a bummer to me, because I think there's a lot of material there. I think we should, you know, take down all political candidates and make them real people. And I would love to see people joking about her a little bit.
I think Trump is very scary, but I think, you know, there are people saying, should we even make jokes about him? I think you almost have to. Like, I feel like, and I am not a political comedian, but the ones who are skilled at it, I really thank God for them, because to me, you know, jokes, I don't know, from my perspective, jokes are a thing that have always cut across taboo, and it's like, if a thing is funny, everybody's going to laugh at it. And I look at, like, I give SNL so much credit for the Black Jeopardy sketch, because when you look at it, it's really funny. It's getting passed around on Facebook, and a lot of people are going to watch it because it's funny. But there's also some subtle things to that. A, I bet there's a lot of Trump supporters and a lot of people in Black Lives Matter who are going, oh, wait, yeah, part of the point of that sketch is, like, a lot of people in America have the same complaints no matter where they view themselves. We're all kind of upset and feeling ignored for the same reasons. And then I also even think if I was someone in the Democratic Party, if I was, like, a strategist behind the scenes, I would watch that sketch and go, oh, right. You can kind of make the argument that a lot of the Trump supporters are probably people who are members of unions, are probably working class people, blue collar people who used to be reliably Democrat. A lot of them are feeling really burned. And for some reason, Trump is where they're finding their answers. They should be finding their answers in the Democratic Party. That's where they used to. If you were like a working class unionist factory worker, that's traditionally a Democrat. A lot of those people are the ones supporting Trump now. It's a pretty concerning thing. And the humor of that sketch is outright really funny. But then also, I think a lot of the stuff that's right under the surface of it is so on target and honest, which is also part of why it is really funny.
Let's see our categories. We got big girls. I don't know. You better. I'm going to pray on this. They out here saying, and as always, white people.
Let's go to they out here saying for 8.
Okay, the answer there, they out here saying that every vote counts. Oh, Doug again.
What is, come on, they already decided who wins even before it happens.
Yes, yes, yes. And the Illuminati figured that out months ago. That's another one for Doug.
You're all touching on what I think is this great question for comedians in this election, which is this campaign in all its wackiness kind of comedic gold, or is it such a parody of the way that a campaign is supposed to be and to feel that it's almost an affront to comedy?
I think Phoebe and Cameron have definitely hit hard, like, the social and moral implications of how to handle this election comedically, what it means to be political right now. But thinking of it just from, like, a purely nerdy, like, technical, like, the mechanics of comedy, I think the problem with Trump is that his real life behavior is so absurd that it kind of comedically is already blown out. Like, I know one of my good friends is named Anthony Atamanik, and he's been doing a lot of work. He's, in my opinion, doing the best Trump impression in the country. Anybody who looks up his work, it's like, oh, my God, this is hilarious. And I don't want to speak for him, but I know he's run into a problem where he will make jokes that feel so absurd, and then Donald Trump will do real-life versions of the same joke that are even more, like, Anthony was doing the everybody raise your right hand thing because he was like, there's no way. And then Trump actually did. He made his people do a Hitler salute.
So let me tell you this. There is an energy in this country. We talk about green energy. Well, I met this guy, incredible guy. This guy is a Duke. He's a Duke. His name is David. I don't know what his last name is. Wonderful guy. And he has an energy company called Triple K. I don't know what they do. I don't know much about them. And he told me about an alternate energy source in this country that apparently has been running this country since its inception, 300 plus years, called white power. Unbelievable. White power. There is white power flowing through this country everywhere, and apparently it runs everything. Unbelievable. And
it's a weird thing in comedy where it's like, you know, when you're especially coming from an improv background, sketch background, it's like, you know, you always have this idea of like, you can't make your character too absurd or nobody buys it. There's got to be something to anchor it to reality in some sense. It's weird to say, but Trump as a human being is already almost hacky. Mm-hmm. If you wrote a sketch about that guy, it would come across as like, no one will buy this. It's too big. He is hacky and he's a real life person. So to make comedy that uses that as the foundation is kind of tough. There's some tough elements to that as a writer, as someone thinking comedically. How do I top this guy when he's already saying, you grab women by their, like, how do you top that?
Right, that's he tops already, himself. Yeah.
It's hard to do a really funny impression of a clown.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to, somebody that's already really entertaining very hard. It's hard to top that.
Like, he's like a Jerry Lewis character.
Yeah, he is. Like,
I want to end by asking you guys, in either a line or a word, to tell me how you're going to remember the 2016 election. And I'm going to go first.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah.
Tic Tacs.
Mm-hmm.
Chris?
Anxiety.
I'll give you that.
My wife's also out of town now, so all I do is read about the election and don't talk to anybody.
Lucky
and it's
you.
Killing me. I've been depressed for days.
Chris, if you want my number, you can just text me and don't live that life.
Yeah.
I don't want that for you.
It's crazy.
That would be the host's
Michael.
Phone.
That's your phone. I had my phone off.
I have mine on airplane mode.
Okay, Cameron?
Well, sorry, New York Times, but I know exactly what word it is for me. Pussy. And that is in every sense of the word. We're going to have the first female president. And we are not going to grab her.
One word to sum up this election cycle.
Or sentence.
Ignorant. It's been ignorant in a lot of ways, right?
My real answer, like when you're asking, like, how will I remember it? The real one sentence answer is, I will try to forget. Like, that's the real answer.
Yeah.
All right. I know I keep saying last question, but this is really it. Chris, can you read this one final tweet?
Michael, is it Barbaro?
It's whatever the hell you want it to be.
Mike, as a man whose last name is often mispronounced to great negative effect, I can't do that.
Barbaro.
Michael Barbaro, the author of the now discredited at NY Times hit piece on me with women, has in past tweeted badly about me. He should resign. Are you going to officially announce your resignation?
As they say on Broadway, I'm still here.
What's the date on that? What's the date on that?
That was in May of 2016.
Dang.
It was hard. It was difficult. I mean, there've been at least two nights this campaign where I went home and I used the back entrance to my building and I just said,
wow,
I think I'll be a little safer this way.
Yeah. That's scary. I'm sorry,
you have a back entrance to your building?
I know, that's pretty sick. Yeah.
It's the service entrance.
Service entrance?
Oh my God.
And
they give you a key to that?
I know, right?
There's a back door to most buildings in New York.
No way.
No, not my building.
Not my building.
Not my building in Bay Ridge, man. There's only one way in, one way out.
Well, this has been a delight.
I've had a great time.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Thanks for having me.
It's been really good.
Yeah.
I feel like lighter.
I know you got to say the P word. I said the F word a bunch and then realized I shouldn't
that's
have done
gonna
that.
Go out, but...
My thanks to Phoebe, Chris, and Cameron. Catch Chris in his off-Broadway show, Career Suicide. Pick up Phoebe's new book, You Can't Touch My Hair, and other things I still have to explain. And listen to Cameron's podcast, Put Your Hands Together. That's it for The Run-Up. I'm Michael Barbaro. I'll see you back here on Election Day, when I'll answer your questions on our call-in show. There's still time for your questions. You can leave us a voicemail at 347-868-7110. That's 347-868-7110. Or you can send us an email at therunup@nytimes.com. That's all one word, therunup@nytimes.com.
This podcast is supported by Nutrafol. Hair thinning is never just about your hair. It could be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets key root causes of hair thinning. And my Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand. Discover your root causes at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.